From Kenya, Africa, from little town of Ithika. Mm-hmm. So, blessings to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. You never have a dull day with Jerry. Yeah, you get prepared for anything. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you very much for having us here. Yes, as you've heard, my name is Paul Mulandi, and I'm born again. I love the Lord. He's my personal Savior. And it's been a wonderful time. This time we've been in the U.S., and I'm glad to be with my wife, Irene. She's back there. Can you just stand and wave? And our little girl called Naima. Naima, can you wave? Yeah, she'll be waving some bit when she's wonging around. So thank you for having us here. And also we have Hannah, and she'll be coming here. In fact, you can be walking up here. She'll give a testimony of what she's been doing in Kenya and what the Lord has been doing in our heart. And then I'll also do a little bit of presentation also after that for what's happening in Kenya about ACMI. And then from there, yeah, we'll hear the message. And the Lord bless you. Let's use this, I think.
It's very good to be here this morning. Last year we were here, I think, on a Tuesday night, and there was maybe 30 people here. So it's good to meet the rest of the church today. Like Paul said, my name is Hannah. I'm from Holmes County. And I'm grateful to have the opportunity. I've had the opportunity to serve in Kenya for almost 3 years now. And I'm working with ACMI, the mission that Paul's dad founded. And I'm working in the children's department. My journey kind of started when I was 12 is when my parents were born again. And that made a lot of changes in my family. And at the end of the year, I was also born again. So I began really seeking God. Because of the things that changed in my family, the things that I saw he did in my family, I realized that God really is great, and he can turn around our entire lives. And so I wanted to serve him because of what he had done for me. And as I began seeking him and as I began reading the Word of God, I would see so many times that God really has a passion for orphans. Like you shared this morning, you guys are also involved in foster care. Those are things that are so close to the heart of God, serving the orphans, serving the needy, and helping those who are less fortunate. And I just kept surrendering my life to God. I kept praying and telling God, whatever you lead me to do or ask me to do, I'll do it. And at the time, I had a part-time job. I was still in school, but I began just saving money and giving that whenever I could. But I still wanted to serve God. And some people, when they would hear that I had this passion for orphans, they would say, oh, you know, you should go to Africa. And I said, no way. I refused. I didn't want to go to Africa. But through some circumstances that God worked out, I found myself going to Africa for 2 weeks. And after I was there, the Holy Spirit really confirmed that that's where he wants me. And so after another year at home, I moved back to Kenya, and I've been serving there ever since. And it's just been an amazing journey of seeing God work through ACMI, seeing God work through our children's department is called Operation Hope. And what we do is mostly child sponsorship. We have people from here sponsor children over there, and then they're orphaned, but maybe they live with an aunt or a grandma or a relative who's able to take care of them. And then we make sure they're in school. We make sure they get a good education so that they can change their status for the next generation. The generation coming has a better chance than they did. And then we also do Bible camps with them where we bring them for a week and they do Bible studies. We sing with them. We play with them and just share the love of God for those 5 days. Then we also have some of the cases that we found. We weren't able to help the children at home. There was no one who could even take care of them on a day-to-day basis, so we had to bring them to our children's home. So right now we have 21 children there, and I'm also involved there helping them with their homework, doing a lot of practical things there. And some of the stories, one of the story that has really encouraged me this year, and just seeing the way that God knows each of these children. Sometimes we don't even know that they're out there, but there's a boy that came into our program last year, and his dad had died at the beginning of 2016, and his mom is mentally handicapped. So she has a little garden where she grows vegetables, and she can kind of make sure, she can kind of do those day-to-day things, but she can't tell where her children are at emotionally. She can't make any money. She can't take them to church, any of those things. She's just very, can only do a few things. And so when we went to find them the first time after we were connected to them by a pastor in the area, we got lost. It took us probably about an hour even to find their place. They were way back in. And when we were able to connect with them and able to make sure that this boy is in school and that he's getting an education for his future, I was just reflecting on Psalm 68 and verse 5, where the Bible says, or the psalmist writes, that God is a defender of the widows and a father to the fatherless. And I was amazed at the way that God knew where that boy was, even when no one else did, when we didn't know. God knew his situation, and he connected him to the right people so that he can have a better future. Another case that we had earlier this year was there's three boys that were ages 7, 5, and 3, and their mom died. She was sick, and she died in beginning of 2016 as well. And their dad was sick with the same disease, and so when she died, he lost hope, and he turned to alcohol, turned to drugs, and he neglected the boys, and he stopped taking care of them. He often didn't come home at night, and so the three boys were left alone in the house. There was no neighbor who could take care of them. Their aunt lived close by, but she was a widow, and she had 7 of her own children, and she had 5 other orphans that she was taking care of. So she wasn't able to take care of them either. And the first time we went to their home, we found the 7-year-old and the 5-year-old making supper. And so as we kept working with this family, we saw that there was no one to take care of them at home. So we brought them to our children's home. And it's just been amazing to see how they've flourished and the difference that you see, especially in the 7-year-old. The 7-year-old was taking care of his 2 younger brothers. He was doing their laundry. He was waking them up in the morning, making breakfast. He was helping them in the evening to make something for supper. So he was pretty much a father to his 2 younger brothers. And just seeing him now that he's at the children's home, being a child again, and he has a freedom now. He can laugh. In the beginning, you would very seldom see him laugh. He was carrying a lot of responsibility. But now just to see him enjoy playing soccer and just having fun with the other boys has just been a blessing. And to be able to see the work that God is doing through ACMI has been one of the best things that has ever happened to me. And so I'm grateful again for this opportunity to share. We do have more profiles if any of you would be interested in sponsoring. We have opportunity here. So thank you.
Thank you, Hannah, for that. And I think we could play the video right now. Yeah, that's the team that comes with Dennis Mullett in January, and they do crusades. They go out and to the orphanage and feed the kids. They do different activities. You know, they pray for the sick. They do drama, and then they also do work projects like what you can see right there. They can either work on the orphanage. Right now, the plan that we have is to work on a chicken project. Right now we have 2,000 chickens. We want to do about 8,000, so 6,000 more. The project they're going to work on is a whole building for the chicken. Yeah, that's them ministering in the schools, in the prisons. They were preparing chapatis. It's kind of like a tortilla. And cutting meat, and yeah, that's them enjoying themselves doing that. So it's kind of part of what they do when they come in January. It's normally about 10-day time in Kenya. Right there, they're feeding the old and the sick, and yeah, the hungry. And the Lord really ministers to people when they do it. So it's both ways. When you do some things to people, the Lord blesses you also. Yeah, taking care of the for the young ones, the ones, the guys, when the kids that are in the orphanage, we have like VBSs that take place, and that's what you can see there. We bring them in and we teach them the Word of God when they're on their recess. And we help them grow in the Word and learn, you know, learn how to love one another, how learn how to love God, learn how to pray. And that's the orphanage right there, you could see. Yeah, that's the chicken project. And you see the farm going out there. We're also doing drip irrigation to see how we could. And that's the chicken house. And then we need to do another one on the side. And that's a department called ISO, where we teach young guys who've just come out of high school, who have zeal, teach them the Word of God for about 2 months, and then send them out to the field. They go up north to Turkana, different places like what you can see, and they use that before they go to college. So by the time they go to college, they have already something in their hearts. And the Lord has also opened up the high school ministry. That is Henry, you could see that, that's my dad. He's the director of ACMI, the mission that we work for. And the Lord told him to go back to the high schools. We have so many high schools, so many kids, about 8,000 something high schools in Kenya. About 4 million plus go through high school. And many of them do not know Christ. And so, in fact, we have occasions where we bring in several schools together. And you have almost 2,000, 3,000 kids in one place, teenagers, and you minister the word. And at one point, I remember about 600 and I think 73 in one day got saved. And the Lord is really, you know, that field is ripe and ready for harvest. It's wide open. And so we are encouraged, and we want to partner with as many as we can get to pray for us and also join us in doing this. So we are really grateful for you guys, because you have been doing that and much more. Be encouraged to do much more. What you guys are doing here, keep on doing. What it makes is it helps you not think about yourselves, and you think about others, and that really grows you. And you know, you don't think about your problems. Because a lot of the times when you move out there, you notice that people have much more or even bigger problems than you. And so you feel your privilege. So that's basically what we're doing in ACMI. And the Lord has done good things for us this past year, and we are grateful for that. So that's ACMI. And if you want to send any donation or checks, those are our offices. They are... We registered in the States and also in Canada. So thank you very much for that presentation. I think from there we're going to go straight to the Word, because I have about 10 minutes to try and do, to minister, to go through this sermon. But the Lord will help us understand. Lately, the Lord has been speaking to me mostly about the Holy Spirit and what His work is in our lives and what He does. And because in truth, when the Lord said, when he sent, he's going to send a helper. When he's going to send a helper, he's going to send someone who will help us. And he said in the last days. So basically what we are talking about is the last days. And the last days really started when the Holy Spirit's work started. If you look at the Old Testament, you see a lot of the God the Father doing a lot of what was happening. You see his print. You know, when Moses went up to the mountain, he talked to, I believe that was God the Father right there ministering to him and doing the Ten Commandments. And you go through Elijah, you know, all of that. You see prints of the Father. When you come to the New Testament, to Matthew, John, Luke, Matthew, Mark, John, Luke, the story is all about Jesus. God introduces Jesus to us. And then Jesus also introduces, from that part, he introduces the Holy Spirit. And he says, it is better for I to go. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. My topic today is about witnessing, the way to witness. How should we witness? How can we do this in a way that will please God? And the reasons I have are three, and I'll go through them a little bit quick so that I may be able at least to do justice to the message. It's a good two papers right here. So I hope I'll try and make it quick so that we can finish it. But even if we don't, I hope that the Lord will minister to you. So, number one, the reason why I think it is good to witness, why we should witness, is it's because it's for Christ's sake. Christ commanded us to. You look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Matthew 28 verse 18, that's the Great Commission. I know you've read about the Great Commission, and I know right now in many places, even in our country, it's kind of like the Great Omission. People don't do it much. You know, you don't want to offend people. You want to be the good guy. You want to be, you know, this, that's kind of what is being talked around. But in truth, what did Jesus say? He said, go into the world. You know, I am sending you out to the world. Start in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and the rest to minister the word of God to all people. And so basically for Christ's sake, it is good to witness because of Christ's sake. And also we see that he also, and after all these teachings, interestingly, something that Jesus did is after he taught them how to do it, he said, before you go, I want you to go where? To Jerusalem. And wait for who? For the helper. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who will do what? Who will empower you? Who will give you power to be able to do what? To witness. So it is really through the Holy Spirit that we do what? That we witness. So number one is for Christ's sake, because he commanded us. Number two is for heavenly sake, for heavenly sake. For heavenly sake is a term we sometimes use, you know, for heavenly sake, do this, you know. It's kind of a phrase that we use. And it is good because in the Bible it talks about, Paul talks about the people of Thessalonians, the Thessalonians, you know, the people of Thessalonica. He talks also about the Philippians. He says that they will be who? They are crowns. Because he talks about the person who wins souls. Is like stars. It's in Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. It says that the one who wins souls is wise and shines like stars. And also the one who is a soul winner will receive a reward when Christ comes. And so for heavenly sake, it is good for you to do what? To witness. I believe when we get to heaven, some things you just try and think and try and imagine. There are people who will be happy. I believe all of us, if we get there, will be happy. Grateful. But I think the capacity of being happy will be different in this way. When we first came to the States and we arrived and we went into a like a McDonald's or some restaurant. Or in New York. You know a guy called Daniel Pollard? Yeah, he took us in for lunch, and when we got in there and we were ordering food, we didn't know what to order. You know, we no idea. We are used to chapatis at home and different things like that. Today we'll enjoy some Asian hot stuff, you know. We'll be steaming by the time we're out of there. When we went into the restaurant, when they asked us for drinks, we didn't know what to ask for. We didn't know what to have. So we said, you know, you don't want to be too much. You don't want to be too little. You want to be right in the middle. So we said, you know, what's the middle one? The medium? You call the medium. The small one is a regular, then the medium, and then the large. So I think we said the middle one. And that drink was like that big. You know, we're used to like this much. This is kind of what you're used to. But so this is kind of a medium for us in Africa, you know. So we're waiting for something like this. But we got something that much. And man, and then it was, half of it was what? That's right. And we're not used to ice. You know, it was different. So I believe when we get to heaven, people will have, you know, that large size. They will all be full, but the capacities will be different depending on what you did here on earth. That's something I got to understand. Because we will be happy. We will be full. We will be joyous. But in different capacities. Depending on how faithful you are with what you were given. So for heavenly sake, it is good to witness. The third one is for goodness sake. For goodness sake. So these three things, don't forget. I started with for Christ's sake. Second one is for heavenly sake. The third one is for goodness sake. Why for goodness sake? Jesus said, the measure you give out will be given back to you. And how much really you give out determines how much you get back. And many of us Christians, I would say this, probably not in this church, but a lot of us have a tendency of just putting them, having, you know, getting in, but never getting out. You know what happens with that? It's a condition called, you could call it spiritual constipation. Have you heard of that? At least in the spiritual, we could be a good amount of doctors. You know, the doctors, they tell you all these big names. But in the spiritual, I think we are all spiritual. We could formulate some names. So I think it's spiritual constipation. When you go to Bible, you go to Sunday school, you know, you go for evening prayers, you do, you know, you read the word every morning, but when you go out there, you never share. So what happens to you? You pack it up. You pack it up. Let's talk about food. When that happens, when you pack it up, what happens? That's why they have a very good place back there, very important. Every building has to have that back place. Because if, man, you'll have a very, you'll need woods back there if you don't have. And a shovel. That's how it is. And the Lord did that so that when you look at it physically, you should also do the same in the spiritual. So that you may be able, whatever you take in, you need to give out somehow. Somehow. There is the natural way, or probably the Lord can do something unnatural. You know? If you don't get it out, then you go to the doctor and he has to slash some part of you and take something out. You know? That's how it is. So, it's in three ways. For Christ's sake, for heavenly sake, for goodness sake. It is good for us to witness. And a lot of us, if you don't, you know what happens? What happens? Yes, you get constipated. But before you even get there, what happens? You are starting to notice. You notice some things that are happening in people. You know? Some people get grumpy. Is that right? Yep. Others get a little bit sleepy. Even in church. You may be having problems even at home sleeping. You know, you need to take sleeping pills. But when you come to church, man, it just works. You know, some people get grouchy, you know, belly aching, all of these things. That happens. So you really need to give out so you may be able to get in a little bit more. So I'll also give you a story about someone. Well, just it's about how encouraging it is to do things. It's a guy who had run to the mountains and he was doing, you know, backing the trails and running along. He was doing different, you know, it was a wonderful day. It was probably up in Colorado, somewhere up there. He was running around. It was a wonderful day. Sun is shining. You know, he has his vest and his shorts and he's running and, you know, keep fit. You know how he was running and probably 4 or 5 miles into the trail. And the weather changed quick, became cold. You know, I don't know if he checked the weather. Or probably this was just when the weather gets it wrong, you know, kind of those days. So he you know what, it's getting chilly. I need to get back to the car. So he started going back. But he became so cold, got into a blizzard, and even it started snowing. So he was, I don't know how many miles up there, and he started looking for his way, and because it snowed, he couldn't find his way back. And as he was struggling through the snow, it gets to a point when it's, you know, it's just too much. And he leaned upon a tree and he said, you know what? I'm tired. I can't do it. It's too cold, and I've tried my best, but I can't make it. And as he was there, his head was thinking, you know, if I stop and fall asleep, you know what happens? You go into that, and you never come out of it. And he really tried to fight that. And as he was leaning upon a tree and his hand holding himself, he felt a familiar figure as he touched, and that was like a face, you know, somebody's face. And he felt it a little bit more, and he felt a pulse. And this was another guy who was doing almost what he was doing, but he couldn't make it, sat on the same tree, and fell asleep. And he got strength from somewhere, and encouraged and lifted the guy, put it on his shoulders, and started, you know, keeping on. And 40 feet in front of him, he ran into what? A cabin. And somehow, because of trying to save this guy, he also saved himself. A lot of the times when you have issues, when you're going through a lot of issues, and somebody calls you up and tells you about what they're going through, and you try and help them out, a lot of the times you help yourself out. And that's how it is. Because in this life, we will all have something wrong with us at some point. And that's how it is. And the Lord has given us this time to help and to witness and to tell people about Christ. Now let's read the Word of God. In John chapter 16, verse 7, this is where Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. What did he say about the Holy Spirit? John 16, verse 7. It says this: "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." I know departing is very hard. It is very hard. It is difficult. The disciples were warm, were feeling good having Jesus around. And when Jesus started telling them, you know, I have to go, I need to go, they became sad. But in truth, what Jesus was saying is, in fact, Jesus was just amazing. How can the most, you know, the one who made the glorious, marvelous, you know, invisible, made the whole universe. The guys have tried to send a camera up out in space. I think they sent it in 78. Man, it's still going. It's still going. And man, if the Lord tarries, it'll still keep on going and it'll not get to the end. Or if it does somewhere, the Lord can just do it and it's not going round again. It keeps on going. You don't know what's out there. It's just too big. And it, usually he can lay it at the palm of his hand. It's just amazing. And he puts himself in a person. One, he lowers himself to that. That's just amazing. It's amazing for me. And this is what he says. He said, it's good for me to go. Because the state that he was in, he would not be everywhere at every time. And so he needed to go and send a helper who will be with you right now, will be with me right now, will be with somebody in China, you know, there'll be somebody in India, somebody in Mexico, South America. He'll be everywhere at every time. And so he said, I need to go. It is not good to depart. People, we feel that way. But also, he knows a little bit better than we do. So he said, it is good for me to depart, but I will send you a helper. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. So Christ is talking about the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And of sin, verse 9 says this, of sin, a lot of the times when we do witnessing, us, in our own way, a lot of the times we deal with the, I don't know if it's the symptoms. You know, you when you go to somebody, you tell him, stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing the other. You know, that's kind of how we try and do it. When you're doing that, you're doing wrong. You should, you know. There's a way we normally think it should happen. But the Holy Spirit convicts them of what? Of sin. That's what it says. Of sin. We, for mass, would say, you know, stop cigarette smoking. You know, homosexuality. You know, pornography. That's kind of what we'd think of. But the Holy Spirit would convict them of what? Sin. But let's finish that verse. It says, because they do not believe in who? In me. Because they do not believe in Christ. That's why he convicts them of their sin. Because they do not believe in Christ. And that's important. Because in 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 and 2 he says, my children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if you sin, I have an advocate. And continues down like that. In Matthew 12, 31 it says, all manner of sin is forgivable, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is not believing in Jesus. When things happen and you see that there is no way that would happen without Jesus, but you still say, you know what, that's fate. You know, that's, I just woke up on the right side of the bed. You know, I'm lucky. You could use whatever you want. But a lot of the times, the denial that that is Christ, that's blasphemy. And that is what the Holy Spirit convicts someone of. And also, verse, John chapter 3, verse 17 says that Jesus was sent by God not to condemn the world, but that he might be saved through him. What they need is Christ in their lives. The rest will follow. The cigarette smoking will go after a while. You know? The pornography, when you read the word, you concentrate on the word, that will go. You know, the whatever you may think of, that will go after you commit yourself to Christ and he helps you to live a righteous life. And then verse 10 it says, and of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you'll see me no more. Of righteousness. Being right. When the Pharisees went to Jesus. They asked him, you know what? We want a sign. So that we believe in you, we want a what? We want a sign. And the sign that he gave them was, he says, destroy this body, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. That's what he said. Being right, he vindicated that claim. He vindicated that claim that it will rise in 3 days. There are testimonies. Many, five, I don't know how many people saw Jesus after he was, he vindicated that claim that he will rise again. And he will go where? To heaven. That's what he says. Because I go to my Father and you'll see me no more. He will go up there. He will rise and you'll see him, and then you'll go up there. That's not, he vindicated his claims. He also validated the cross. He validated the cross in that. And we talked about this a little bit when, I think when we were in the, when we were doing the Sunday school, about, we talked about the, I think the blood and the sacrifice. It was once in a year, in what they call the Yom Kippur ceremony, the Day of Atonement, is when the high priest used to go into the temple. He wears white linen, goes into the temple. Once in a year, he goes to sacrifice, you know, a lamb that was pure. And everybody, that day, the whole of Israel was there standing and waiting. Until he does that. And then he comes out and says, your sins are forgiven. And they all clap their hands. That's what happens. That's what used to happen. But Christ vindicated this by doing what? Being the lamb that was slain that no other needs to be. That your sins are forgiven before, now, and forever. And that's why Christ looks at you through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus did no sin. Walked through 33 years. My goodness. That's long. You know, you think about sinning even in a day, how many times you have it in here or even do it. And Jesus just went through his 33 years without sinning. So he vindicated that. Impacted our lives. He impacted our lives. Because he lives, I live. And number four, he obliterated our foe. That's, we see that from Genesis 3 when he says, by the woman's seed. And that he accomplished. That's why we are free. And then the last part, which is verse 11. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You know who the ruler of this world is? If you read Daniel, you'll know. Princes and, you know, he, in fact, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. He talked about Satan. He said he was thrown down. He's the ruler. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil came to tempt him and he told him about what he would give him if he bows down and worships him. Do you know Jesus never said you lied about having all of those things? Because they were his. Adam gave it. Adam was given by God. And then Adam submitted to who? To the devil. And give the authority, the dominion of this earth to you. And that's what we need to reclaim. And so, that ruler is judged. He may come to you and tell you, you know what? You remember what you did? You remember what how you offended that brother? You remember what you said to that guy? So that you don't. He does that so that he brings you down. so that you may not lift up holy hands, so that you may not pray with power, so that you may not witness, because it tells you that you're worse than that guy. But remember that he was judged. He was judged. And he has no power over you. In 1 Peter, it talks about when Jesus died, where did he go? He went to hell to take the keys. And what did he do down there? He testified. He told them that you demons, you know, you do not have authority. Because right now, I have done it for eternity. You have no claims. And so that, so you are free in Christ. You live in Christ. And that's an amazing testimony of what Christ talked about the Holy Spirit. And that really encourages me. That when I go out, it's not really me who does it, because I know who does it. My work is to witness, to tell them that you need Christ. He is the Savior of this world. That hole that you have in your heart, that you're trying to fill with different things, only He can do it. So it is good news. It is good news. And the Lord has done it. And so I believe, wow. I think today has been a long service. But I believe the Lord has blessed you. And it's just a reminder that in this life, you'll go through different things. And that's how it is. You know what you talked about your brother. And I think you talked about somebody about nerves. I've been through that. You know, with nerves and being paralyzed and all of that. But God is good. What I say is, for me to live is because of Him. And even to die is still gain. As long as I live faithfully, as long as I do with what I have, if I can go, I will go. You know? Don't let, you know, culture. Don't let, you know, a good name or a good type of life prevent you from having a big cup, which is full. Because let me tell you, I think there will be a little bit of jealousy when we get up there. Because you will remember some things. You will remember some things. And it's not about doing it on the pulpit. No. You remember the story that Jesus told about, you know, it's about the beggar man and, you know, and the rich. It's not really how many people you preach to. It is how faithful you are. The parable of the pound. You remember the parable of the pound? There's one guy who started in the morning. And there's a guy who came at 4 o'clock. But they all got what? A pound. He decides what he gives. You just need to be faithful. Yeah, there are people who work harder than others, Jerry. You know? There are people who work harder than others. But he will decide what he pays. Just be faithful in what you're supposed to do. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we glorify your name. You're a wonderful God. You're a wonderful Redeemer. You're a wonderful friend. The lessons that you teach us are not easy, but King of Glory, you say by your strength, by your Spirit, we'll be able to accomplish them. We are praying, O God, that you minister to our lives, you minister to our spirits, O God, that you help us heed to your call and be witnesses. Everywhere we go, be it here in Shiloh, be it in Abbeville, you know, be it in South Carolina, be it in the U.S., or in each and every part of this world, help us, King of Glory, to be what you want us to be, to accomplish your purpose during this time. It's a privilege for us to live. It is a wonderful privilege, and we thank you for that. Thank you for the wonderful families, oh God. Thank you for the wonderful gifts that you give us. But King of Glory, let them not be a hindrance for us to minister. Let us be faithful in all. The gifts, the favors, and all. Let us be faithful, King of Glory. We praise you and we magnify your name. Be exalted. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you very much.